Welcome to The Marketing Menu, the delicious podcast with regular, relevant content to help your business grow and thrive. Jargon-free, easy-to-understand marketing tools with effective tips and tricks, and guaranteed no cheese.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Marketing Menu podcast brought to you by me, Liz Gordon, and Nikki Matthews. Hi, Nikki. Happy Valentine's Day. What do we have for our lovely listeners today?
Hi, Liz. Well, we do love our listeners, so it's a good day for sharing the love. So I thought it'd be a good idea to cover something that is increasingly important in the marketing world, yet a lot of people still aren't sure how to do it, and that is email marketing.
Yes, indeed. With all the emphasis being on social media and other digital methods, it's easy to forget how important this means of marketing can be.
That's right. So including email marketing in your overall marketing strategy is still a cost-effective way of reaching and communicating with your audience in a very specific way. So let's look at some benefits.
Good idea. Well, firstly, nearly everyone uses email now. According to a HubSpot survey, 91% of consumers use email. That means sending an email that offers news, discounts, special offers, etc., goes directly to their inbox, and then they can share it or forward on the email if they wish.
Which, of course, is an excellent way of raising that all-important brand awareness.
Absolutely. And like we said before, it is cost-effective. Apart from the time spent putting the content together, if you're using free software like MailChimp, it's free.
So we're going to talk, aren't we, about some other platforms a bit later in the podcast, as we've some experience with those, haven't we?
Yes, we do. So another plus for email marketing is the ability to reach people where they are.
What do you mean by that?
Well, apparently over 50% of people open their emails on their mobile phones. So you're hitting them, so to speak, in real time. And there's a better conversion rate from mobiles too.
Oh, that's interesting. I think it's important, though, Liz, that we zoom out here for a second, because we all know that spam rates are increasing. Apparently, if you count solicited emails, in other words, ones that we may have signed up for at some point, the figure is likely to represent almost 70% of your inbox. And if you count those pesky unsolicited ones, around 99%.
Wow.
Now, obviously, spam filters have got a lot better in recent years, but it's worth saying that given that email marketing has been the most popular marketing channel for several years, and that obviously the average number of promotional emails is set to continue to rise, you'd think that open rates are actually on decline.
Is that not the case then?
Well, apparently no. Recent research states that open rates for promotional emails still averages 22 to 25%.
Which, of course, is good news, as it means that email is still a powerful marketing channel that you can use to communicate with your prospects or customers.
Yeah. Obviously, these figures do vary between industries, which is where the industry benchmarks come in. And these will show, obviously, for your industry, how the industry is changing as a whole. And you should be able to pull this number from your email service provider, too. And again, apparently these rates do differ quite a lot from country to country. In 2017, the average rate across all industries was actually 24.7%. But again, you know, the good old sceptical UK market lags at around 13% open rate. So if you have an open rate of 20% or higher, then you are actually doing a great job.
But if you're not, don't worry. You know your email subscribers better than anyone else. For example, if you consistently reach a 15% open rate, which is below average, yet your campaign is delivering results, it's obvious that you're not underperforming, even if the industry average says you are.
Yeah, interesting. So it's all about staying in touch with your customers, isn't it? And building in, you know, regular email or e-news into your marketing makes them feel valued and engaged with your brand, and will ultimately help strengthen your brand loyalty.
Now, obviously, any type of marketing activity needs to be measured, and using email makes it easy to track how many people have opened it, bounce rates, click-throughs from any links you've included, and, of course, who have unsubscribed.
Yeah, that can be quite interesting sometimes.
It's a bit disheartening.
The important thing is to use this information, though, to inform what you're doing. So do you need to reconsider the type of content that you're using, or maybe your subject line needs to be a bit more punchy to encourage more people to open it? Remember back to our podcast about what makes your customer tick. When you know this, you can be sure that you're using the right language and targeting the right people.
Which brings us nicely onto segmentation. Ooh. Now, this can help you target your messaging more specifically, as not all customers are going to be at the same stage as others.
Too right. So if we look at the buying cycle, I guess, listeners may remember that we talked about ADA, the ADA model. That is awareness, interest, desire, and action. So some customers may obviously be at the stage where they are doing simply some research about buying a product. So your email could be more about raising awareness of a new product, giving them technical information or other details to generate interest.
Then, with clever wording, you can convert that interest into a desire to buy the product. Basically, you need to be giving them the information they need to move on to the next step.
Yeah, and this is where creating that customer persona can be really helpful, as you know where they are and then what language they're going to hopefully respond to.
Yeah, great stuff. So before we talk more about the types of platforms you can use for email marketing, just a reminder that if you're enjoying this week's Marketing Menu podcast, please do make sure you subscribe via iTunes, Blueberry, Stitcher or TuneIn.
Apparently we're going to be on Spotify soon, just to let you know.
Blueberry's
moving to Spotify too.
All right.
Of course, you can also download directly from our website at themarketingmenu.com, where we do offer a free transcript of what we've talked about, so you can refer back to it if needs be.
So let's talk about what makes a perfect email. As we said, we're inundated with emails every day, so how can you make yours stand out?
Well, I guess you're ahead of the game if people have already signed up to receive your e-news.
Yeah, but that doesn't necessarily guarantee they'll open it.
No.
It still needs to be interesting and relevant.
Yeah, according to GetResponse, emails with a personalised subject line have a 26% higher open rate than those without.
Wow.
And a 30% increased click-through if the body of the email is personalised too.
Yeah, I'm not sure how I feel about that, to be honest. I suppose I'm quite cynical.
Yeah, I feel like I can find it a bit cheesy sometimes.
Very cheesy.
Name popping up everywhere in the text.
You know it's just been programmed.
Yeah, but the stats do speak for themselves.
Absolutely.
So if you can personalise it more by including details of previous purchases, perhaps, or details of the products you know that they've expressed an interest in before, then I guess that's going to help.
Yeah, it's a good idea to use the word you throughout the email as well. And remember your tone of voice. Keep it real and use language that you would use if you were speaking directly to the customer if they were in front of you.
Yeah, that's a good way of thinking about it. Read it out loud and imagine yourself actually saying
absolutely.
It. Absolutely. Good. And no jargon.
Definitely no jargon.
Yeah, it's crucial that you know the purpose of your email too. So that will help you stay focused on the subject and be clear about what action you want the reader to take. So is it to click on a link to your website or to use a voucher code that you're giving them to buy a product? Just think about that.
Now, when it comes to the subject line, I have seen some bizarre ones recently where people are obviously trying really hard to stand out. But to be honest, it just irritates me.
Okay.
One said, Liz, I owe you an apology.
Yeah, I think I've had something similar.
Yeah, you probably know who it is because I think we're both signed up to the same bloke. Now, I've never had any dealings with this person, but get inundated daily with emails from this bloke. I should unsubscribe, but to be honest, it's interesting from a content marketing point of view to see what his next move will be.
We'll watch this space.
Indeed.
That's called clickbait. The skill is making it interesting, but not spammy or trying to appear too clever. According to strongcontent.com, the ideal subject line contains, pen and paper at the ready, 51 to 60 characters. And 6 to 10 words have the highest open rate, whereas the body of the email should be no more than 150 words in 5 paragraphs.
Remember we said about having a call to action, so give your reader an answer to a problem in your content. Also consider when the best time to post is.
Also, according to strongcontent.com, apparently, Liz, the best open rate days are Tuesday, Wednesday or Monday.
Oh.
The worst are Saturday and Sunday.
And times?
11 a.m. on a Monday to Saturday or 9 p.m. on a Sunday, apparently.
Yeah.
I know that works for me on LinkedIn, actually.
Right.
Because I quite often post on LinkedIn on a Sunday evening. I get a lot more engagement. I know that's not quite what we're talking about here.
Do you get the engagement immediately, or is it when people see it the next day?
No, immediately.
Oh, right.
I think quite often people are setting themselves up for their week ahead at work,
preparing.
Getting back into their work mode.
Interesting.
So, I mean, alternatively, I suppose people do open first thing on a Monday.
Mm. could be. Adding urgent words like now, today, within the next 24 hours, or limited offer also compel people to act.
So we've covered why and how to use email marketing. So let's look at where. And we've got some experience of this in different ways, haven't we, Liz?
Yes, I've been using MailChimp successfully for some years for clients. I do find it easy to use for the basic functions. I think they've cornered the market for the smaller business, and probably in no small part to the fact that if your email list is less than 2,000 subscribers, then it's free. Albeit you can't remove branding without paying for an upgrade. But obviously this entices a lot of small organisations and not-for-profits, or those using the tool less often.
Yeah, and MailChimp is a good tool, but recently I've explored a number of other options, which are generally, I'd say, more sophisticated, by which I mean they combine your email marketing, automation with customer relationship management, and sales. Similarly, they have all the tools you'd need to create smarter-looking email campaigns.
What do the tools do?
Okay, so basically, I suppose, these tools enable you to tag people. And you can tag them according to their actions and their interests, and then you can direct them along a different path. So say we are offering like a free download. So if customer A clicks to access that download, then we may send them a video, whereas customer B, who didn't click that download, may then receive a follow-up reworded email 3 days later with another option to download. And then as time goes by, you can start to analyse which campaigns are working and which are not, so you can either repeat or abandon your various calls to action. You can also add in metrics which allow you to have an ultimate goal. So take the marketing menu, for instance. If somebody signs up then for one of our courses, then the goal's been achieved, and then they are effectively moved onto another email string. It enables the end user, I suppose, to get up-to-date and more relevant content, which is, you know, ultimately what marketing needs to be nowadays.
So I guess over time, different people will be opting in and receiving different sequences based on their needs and interests?
Exactly that.
So which do you recommend?
Well, this is certainly not a long list, as it's important listeners do their own research, because obviously there's a cost to all of this, inevitably. But the tools I've investigated are the brand leader Infusionsoft. Then there's Campaign Monitor and Active Campaign. Now, Infusionsoft is brilliant, I'm not being funny. Expect it to blow your mind.
I've watched you.
Yeah.
And my hat is off to you making it work.
It blows your mind if you're just starting out with this sort of automation. So you can get help, but again, it does get costly. And the platform's not cheap to start with. So personally, I'd only recommend this to businesses that are really heavily investing in this all-important email marketing. Probably more the retail orientated stuff, really. Both Active Campaign and Campaign Monitor, they offer similar services, but after a trial on both, which I'd strongly recommend listeners do before signing up, Active Campaign is actually my tool of choice.
I know it's worked really well, hasn't it?
It's pricey, but not in the Infusionsoft league. And it's clear enough that you can, that I can run things. Whereas I felt with Infusionsoft, you had to be really on it all the time in order to get your head around it in a way, in order to make it pay off.
Interesting. I guess what we're saying is there are many tools out there nowadays, and you don't just have to go for MailChimp. So listeners, do your research and think about the bigger picture, as undoubtedly it will be harder to swap tools once you've committed to one further down the line. And do take up those free introductory offers before you commit, so that you can test them out and see which is a good fit for you.
Yeah, so we'd like to give some listeners some key takeaways, don't we, before we close. So what should we look at here, Liz?
Well, I think remember the visuals. As we said, emails are not really the place for long ramblings. Mm-hmm. Think of it more in the way of signposting, by offering links to places where people can discover more if they're interested. If you're selling goods, then go heavy on the visuals, as it's these that captures people's imagination. Or use short videos to get across a bigger message. And you could revisit our podcast 22, Using Video for Marketing, to get some ideas on how you may do this after the show if it's of interest.
Yeah, and if starting out, it can be a good idea to write down the key areas of your mail shop before you start. So as we mentioned the word ADA earlier at the beginning of this podcast, I think along these lines by writing down these headings so that you can frame the message a little bit more cleverly. It also ensures that you don't miss anything out. So listeners, write these down. These are attention, interest, desire. We're going to add in commitment and action.
So there are several techniques for attracting attention with your email. You can attract attention with a question, for example, like a cheap holiday in the sun. Not many people are going to say no to that. Another way of attracting attention is by issuing a challenge.
Yeah, a communications training company recently emailed out an email using a 20p image, challenging the managing director in this case to telephone his company with a vague inquiry to find out how it was handled. Apparently this produced very significant responses. It appealed to every managing director's secret fear that their office was not being run as well as they want it to be.
What was the significance of the 20p? I didn't understand.
I think it costs you 20p to make a phone call to find out how well your
sales... A bit like a mystery shopper.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Then there's curiosity, perhaps slightly more tongue-in-cheek, and therefore be careful here, but you could arouse curiosity by an enigmatic headline question that encourages the recipient to inquire further. It could be about a product or a service. Either way, if done well, this can certainly help you stand out.
Not about the apology then, we're going back to the apology.
No, I never want to see one of those again.
There's the fear of missing out, or FOMO as we regularly call it. Some of the emails work on the principle that you might lose out if you don't read on. So a computer training company used this technique recently in a mail shot where they indicated that most people only use 30% of the power of their software packages, but with obviously appropriate training, they could double their productivity.
I like that.
It's very true as well, yeah. That 30%, I think.
Or finally, there's the chance of gain, and this is where the offer comes in. The chance to take part in a draw or a free trial. So having got their attention, we now have to capture their interest, and this is where you build benefits. Benefits are what the product or service can deliver. Remember to sell the benefits, as these are the reasons that people buy. Benefits should be tangible, should create word pictures, and should relate, most importantly, to what the person reading is likely to want.
I like that. So having attracted their attention and created that interest, we now have to make them desire the product or the service. And this is done often by rephrasing the offer. Remember that people do not read emails in the same way as a personal email letter, rather. So they may not read it all the way through. They might skip about. So that is why you need to rephrase those all-important offers. This is then the point where you should reinforce any fear of loss or chance of gain, of course, in the reader's mind.
Lastly, the final step is commitment. At this stage, you reinforce their need to do whatever it is you want them to do. Fill in the form, phone the number, buy goods, etc. Try to anticipate any objections they might have as well, and then deal with them so that they're no longer objections.
Yeah, that's interesting, actually. I work with an accountancy practice that was really just sending the eShop out to their existing database rather than new people. But we had to work a little bit on actually having a strong call to action because it was just sort of, you know, information-led,
right,
really. But it was still an important facet, I think, to sort of bear that in mind. I think a lot of people forget that sometimes.
Absolutely.
Yes, so think about objections, also about cost. Instead of thinking about the objections, work on the principle of representing value for money, or provoke others by thinking in terms of the cost of them not doing something.
Yeah, if it's an objection about existing suppliers, consider offers of a free consultation to be sure you're getting the best deal.
Yeah, I like that. Well, that brings us to the end of this week's podcast. We hope you've enjoyed hearing more about the benefits of email marketing. Do let us know, obviously, if you put any of it into action.
Yes, thanks for tuning in, listeners. We know there are loads of podcasts and webinars out there, and we have specifically designed the Marketing Menu to offer practical, accessible marketing ideas that you can put into practice easily.
Just a reminder before we finally do say goodbye that we're running a series of free marketing workshops, actually, aren't we, Liz? Yay! In February and March in the Bournemouth and Southampton area. So please visit our website themarketingmenu.com for more details of how to get involved.
And tune in again on the 28th of February for our next podcast.
Yeah, so it's goodbye from me, Nikki Matthews, until next time.
And me, Liz Gordon, goodbye.
You've been listening to The Marketing Menu, brought to you by Nikki Matthews and Liz Gordon. Episodes are every 2 weeks on Wednesdays. Please share, subscribe, or add reviews, and stay in touch for more bite-sized marketing tasters for growing businesses.